Today we'll discuss some aspects of Bhagavat Tattva, Bhagavat, or the philosophy of the Srimad Bhagavatam, by accepting some questions in regard to various aspects, various points that have arisen in the practice and consideration of Bhagavad philosophy. So your question, or it was maybe Murari Gupta's question, is it obligatory for the disciple to follow the instruction of a guru which is not, the instruction which is not spiritual? And the example is given that if the guru tells you to go from Bangalore to Salem by train instead of by road, are you obliged to follow that? If you feel that actually it's better to go by road? That's the question. That's an example. And you have other questions also. The answer to this could take up a whole class easily. And it's not just a matter of yes and no. Should you follow? Yes. Should you follow? Maybe. Should you follow? No. These are possible answers to this question. Another possible answer is, don't ask such a stupid question. It's another possible answer, but I don't think it's a stupid question. I think it's a reasonable and important question. Should one follow all instructions of the guru? Material and spiritual. Is it obligatory for the disciple to do so? In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is quoted from Ramayana, in which I can't remember the Sanskrit, I don't know. In which it's quoted that the order of the guru should be followed, and in this case, it's the order of Dasharath, who is not the guru in the sense that this question has been asked, I presume. It means one's diksha guru, or one's guide in spiritual life. But here the word guru is used, and the point is made that one has to follow the order of the guru, even if it seems unreasonable or could be moderated, adjusted. But Ramchandra Bhagavan felt himself obliged to follow that order. It wasn't a spiritual order, but it wasn't an order meant for directly for his spiritual progress. Of course, Ram doesn't make spiritual progress. He is spiritual progress. He's the goal of all spiritual progress. But Ramchandra Bhagavan, as Maryada Purushottam, or the Supreme Lord, who comes to set the limits of human behavior. Maryada literally means limit, and it's usually translated as etiquette. But what Ramchandra Bhagavan was exhibiting was the adherence to dharma, what we call in English etiquette, is much more meaningfully understood in Vedic culture as adherence to dharma. So Ramchandra Bhagavan was showing that the order of the Father has been given, one has to follow it, even if it seems unreasonable, or even if it could be, it would seem that for the sake of everyone concerned, if that order wasn't followed, it would be better. Everyone except maybe Kaikeyi and Mantara and Bharat, although Bharat, he didn't like that, although Kaikeyi thought he would like that, to have Ram exiled to the forest. And even Dasharath, he wanted to withdraw, but Ram wouldn't let him because he thought, well, that's you gave me an order, and that was in fulfillment to your promise to Kaikeyi to give her a boon. So he wanted to save his father from going back on dharma, for going back on his word. And even more shocking example is that of Parashuram, who was ordered by his father Jamadagni to cut off the head of his mother, Renuka, which he did. That's illegal. If you did that nowadays, if your father told you to cut off your mother's head, and you did it and cited Srimad Bhagavatam as evidence, that wouldn't get you off in the court case. You'd be convicted as a criminal for killing your mother. But Parashuram did so with the faith that his father is such a great person that what he orders, even if it goes against all common sense and dharma and everything that anyone might think to be correct, that if he orders me to do so, it must be a good reason for doing so, and he will not do anything adharmic. He could not conceive that he could do anything adharmic. So without hesitation, he cut off his mother's head. And of course, Jamadagni was quite competent to restore life to his mother, which he did so immediately. When being pleased with Parashuram, he offered him a boon. He said, okay, bring him back to life again. He had faith that he could do that. Bring her back to life again. So Parashuram had full faith that his guru, in this case his father, was what he ordered would never be anything against the principles of dharma. Yudhishthira Maharaj said a similar thing when he came to marry Draupadi along with four brothers, and Drupad was against it. He said, well, this is completely against the principles of dharma. A woman can't marry five husbands. And Yudhishthira Maharaj offered as evidence that it was not adharmic by saying that nothing, I approve of this, and nothing adharmic can come in my mind. It's not possible. So not everyone can say that, but Yudhishthira Maharaj can say that. So the principle is that one should follow the order of Guru with the conviction that he knows better than I do, even if it seems not like that. Now, there are various grades of order also, and generally a Guru won't order, you must go by train from Bangalore to Salem, it's my order, you must not go by road, because generally, it won't make that much difference whether you go by road or train. I mean, from the spiritual point of view, it won't make much difference. Although he may suggest that for some reason, thinking that for whatever reason, you can imagine there's too many traffic jams on the road. But the disciple may think, well, we're just giving hypothetical case here. Well, he probably doesn't know that the road construction is finished, the traffic jams are a thing of the past on that road, and you can go quickly and conveniently. It's better to go by road. So anyway, the guru is not likely to order over such a minor point. But he may say it's better to go by train than by road. Now, if one doesn't follow that because one thinks that actually knows better, That's not as serious as transgressing the order against, for instance, engaging in illicit sex. It's not. You disobeyed me. You didn't follow the principles. You disobeyed me. You went by road instead of by train. It's not on the same level, obviously. Nevertheless, the attitude of accepting the guru as being in a superior position, it's important to maintain that. Now, what happens if, for instance, you do go by road instead of by train, as the guru had said, and then you find out that actually the traffic jams are still going on, and you get delayed for many hours, and you come later and you weren't able to do the service on time that you were supposed to? That would be very bad. Or if you did come earlier and you could do your service more thoroughly or quickly, or that might be better. You know, for the sake of one might think, well, I have a service to do in Salem, so I can get there more quickly. Of course, you could also say to the guru that, well, actually, the traffic situation is much better now. You could also say that. It's not that guru told me to go by train, but actually I think it's better. You can also say, I think it's better to go by road. You may not be informed. There's sometimes devotees think, well, guru knows everything about everything, but that's not necessarily true. There are many instances of this. Srila Prabhupada was, I can't remember exactly the details of the incident, but I believe it was Hridayananda Maharaj was reporting that he was just saying to Prabhupada, not reporting, but he was in the causes. He was saying, well, Harishari Prabhu was talking to this woman and a disciple who wanted to meet Prabhupada, and Prabhupada became angry. He said, why was he speaking to a woman? He's a brahmachari. And then either Hridayananda Maharaj or Harishari Prabhu said, well, actually, I'm not Prabhupada, I'm married. He had been in Prabhupada's service for some weeks or months, but he'd never told Prabhupada that he was married, actually. He was wearing white, but Prabhupada had presumed that he was a brahmachari because he never saw his wife. Prabhupada never saw Harishari Prabhu's wife, and it seems that Harishari Prabhu also never saw his wife, because otherwise Prabhupada would have noticed that. So then Prabhupada said, oh, I didn't know. That's all. So, but it may be that you'll see like that with Prabhupada. He doesn't know something. And he's told, oh, all right, now I know. On the other hand, it may seem that sometimes Prabhupada knew things almost mystically that others didn't know. And there are many instances of this also. Many instances. When Prabhupada on the last ever journey he made from Bombay to Vrindavan, he was going by the Paschim Express. So that devotee who is now known as Srinathji, that Narendra Desai, businessman, he was taking Prabhupada in his American car, and Prabhupada was hurrying up, go faster, go faster. He said, well, we've got plenty of time. And they arrived just before the train left, because that day the train timing had changed after, you know, maybe 40 or 50 or 60 years, they changed the train timing. Now, how Prabhupada knew and no one else knew, we don't know. It might have been that it was in the newspaper and Prabhupada saw it, but we don't know. And it seems mystical. And there are many instances like that. Where one Mataji devotee, I believe it was in Los Angeles, she had the idea to bring the bhog from the kitchen to the altar covered in a cloth, which hadn't been done previously, so that no one would see it as it was being taken. So that was a very good idea. She did that for the first time. She did it. As she did it, Prabhupada happened to be sitting on the Vyasasan, giving class or whatever in the temple room. So she brought it with a cloth covering it, and then she took the cloth off and she was about to close the curtain, and Prabhupada said, "You're such a fool, you brought the cloth to cover the offering, but then you should have closed the curtains so that others wouldn't see it, but then you should have closed the curtain before you uncovered the offering." So how Prabhupada knew that she'd done this, we don't know. It's, you can say, mystical. So when Srila Prabhupada was asked, "Do you know everything?" he said, "Well, I know what Krishna wants me to know." So sometimes Srila Prabhupada exhibited what you might call very human behavior, and at other times he exhibited superhuman behavior. But actually he always exhibited superhuman behavior, because everything he did was Krishnate Akhila Chishta. Everything he did was for the sake of Krishna, for serving Krishna. And that is the essence of his being guru, in the fully spiritual sense. The guru is father, mother, any elder. All such persons are called guru, but in the prime meaning of the guru is Agyanati Nirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam, opening the darkened eyes by the application of, by the operation, opening the eyes by giving spiritual knowledge. Now, we generally see that there is something mystic going on here in the guru-disciple relationship. How that works? Pidyate hridaya grantish chidyante sarva sanshayaha. How that works, that the words of the self-realized person enter the heart of the disciple and cut the attachments in the heart and they pierce the attachments in the heart and cut all doubts. How does that work? How is it that the spiritual master often seems to know the mind of the disciple, or comes in dreams of disciples? Well, like everything else in this world, it's going on by the agency of Paramatma. Yesterday we were talking about in music, when people play together music for some time, they get to know each other. If it's whatever, it's like someone's playing drums and someone's playing electric guitar, or in our case, kautar. And you get, so there's some kind of psychic bonding, so that you can, each the other, they know each other, that when one's just about to change the beat, even without looking or without hearing, you just know it's going to happen. And so the music goes on very, even if it's done spontaneously, it goes on very nicely, because there's everyone's completely in sync with each other. And I gave an example yesterday of a football team or so. When they play together for some time, there's a kind of psychic bonding. So sometimes you can, like, you almost know that this player's here, even though you don't have time to look up and see him. You just pass the ball and it goes to him like that. So this, how does that happen? That happens by the agency of Paramatma, and that we often see in among saintly people, various siddhis. But it seems that especially among our recent acharyas, they haven't emphasized this very much. They don't talk about it very much, and they certainly don't claim that as being one of the qualifications of being guru. But rather, they always stress what is stated in Shastra, that the Shabde Pared Chanishnatam Brahmanyu Pashamashrayam, that one who is qualified to be a guru should be dunked, that means completely immersed in Shabda, which means here Vedic sound, spiritual knowledge. And one who has fully taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the Parampara system. So these are the qualifications of a guru, not his ability to see different beings flying in the sky, which may or not be true, so I may say that, but you know, it's not verifiable. Or to read someone's mind, or to know when the train timing is changed, even though no one informed. These are not the... This doesn't constitute the essence of the guru-disciple relationship. We were also discussing yesterday about some particular bogus guru who is very popular at the present time. And, yeah, at the present time, because, you know, these glowworms, they come and go. So such persons, they tend to emphasize this kind of thing, and their bogus gurus get bogus followers, and they, you know, I saw light coming from his hair. They tend to emphasize this kind of thing. They say something, what were you saying this? He was saying, why do you doubt? I'm always with you. Prabhupada would say things like that sometimes also, but it wasn't, he didn't make like a trade of it, or that wasn't like, that wasn't the everything about his guruship, that never fear, I'm here, this kind, I'm always with you. He actually explained what that meant, Prabhupada, that the right in, even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, even before the introduction, in his dedication, that this is dedicated to my spiritual master, Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa, Parirajaka Acharya Ashtavitara Sata Sri Srimad, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada. He lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. So the disciple, or the guru is always with